So it's pretty clear from today's gospel and elsewhere in the gospels that Jesus didn't get along too well with the religious leaders of his day, the scribes and the Pharisees. So in this homily, I am going to try to help us understand why that was. And I'd like to begin by sharing a story with you. Back in 1954, William Golding wrote a popular novel called Lord of the Flies. It's about a group of 14-year-old schoolboys who became marooned on a deserted island when the plane that was evacuating them from England during World War II crash-landed in the Pacific Ocean. The pilot and the co-pilot were killed instantly, but all the boys survived. And at first, everything went well for the boys. They enjoyed exploring the island, and being on their own. But then things went sour. Bickering broke out among them. They split into two rival groups and started killing one another. One of the points that emerged from Golding's story is that, left to itself, human nature often turns violent. Without laws and structure to guide it, human nature tends towards evil. It takes the path of least resistance, and chaos results. Golding's point is that society needs laws and structures if it is to survive. Without laws and structures, society soon degenerates into a kind of jungle where nothing is sacred and no one is respected. Well, the ancient Jews had a similar philosophy about human nature because, you see, they had fallen into sin and discord many times in their history, and the results were devastating. And they believed that laws and structures were necessary if Israel was to survive and grow as a nation. There's a scene in the book of Nehemiah, that's right after the Babylonian captivity, in which the entire nation gathers and dedicates itself to keeping the law. From that day on, the study of the Jewish law became one of the most important professions in Judea. These ancient lawyers were called scribes, and they took it upon themselves to apply the major laws of the land to the very tiniest details of everyday life. For example, take the law that a person could not work on the Sabbath day. Well, the scribes spent hours discussing how that law applied to such things as walking. For instance, how far could a person walk before it ceased to be recreation and became work? And so there were laws saying that it was all right to walk a half a mile on the Sabbath, but anyone who walked further than that broke the law. But the scribes even went further. They built fences around the law to prevent anyone from breaking them by accident. In other words, it was okay to walk a half a mile on the Sabbath, but to keep the people from breaking the law accidentally, the scribes made it a law that they could only walk 2/5 of a mile on the Sabbath. And as a result of all of this, many common people in Israel gave up even trying to keep the laws that were placed on them by the scribes. They were totally discouraged, and they gave up all hope of ever pleasing God. Many of these common people even gave up trying to keep the major laws, and as a result, were rejected by the scribes and Pharisees as sinners and outcasts. And this explains why Jesus dealt so harshly with the scribes and Pharisees. It is because they had prostituted religion and turned it into a huge set of rules. This also explains what Jesus said about the scribes and Pharisees in today's gospel, when he said, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, and lay them on the people's shoulders, but they don't lift a finger to move them. They like to show off about how holy they are by obeying all of the rules, but they missed the whole point of religion. In contrast to all this legalism, Jesus held out love and forgiveness. He said that the very heart of religion is not a book full of rules that only a few people had the leisure and the learning to keep. Instead, it's a heart filled with love and compassion, something everyone is capable of. Jesus emphasized this in last week's gospel, if you will remember, when asked which of the 613 laws in the Jewish Torah were the most important. Jesus said that there were two. He quoted from the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy when he said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment." And then he said that the second was like it. In other words, the two are intrinsically linked together. And Jesus quoted from the 19th chapter of Leviticus, "You must love your neighbor as you love yourself." And he noted that the whole law, all 613 rules, and the exhortations of the prophets can be summed up in these two commands. And all of the other commandments of the law were subordinate to these two. In other words, Jesus is saying that you can make all the laws you want and keep all the laws you make, but if your reason for doing so is anything other than love of God and neighbor, you have missed the whole point of law and religion. The Pharisees made a critical error. They made a critical error by not linking these two laws together. They tried to separate the love of fellow human beings from the love of God. Their commitment to faith did not include a commitment to human rights and justice and peace. And Jesus makes it abundantly clear. Like the prophets before him, he said that we cannot separate the love of God from the love of others. True love of God and true love of neighbor are like two sides of the same coin. Any attempt to separate them is a falsification of the primary message that God has been trying to get across to mankind for ages. True love means right relationships. It means living the entire gospel all the time and in all circumstances, whether it's convenient or not convenient. You know, our culture tries to tell us how to live. And our culture tells us that if we don't want it, if we don't want something, it's expendable. And so we have abortion, euthanasia, capital punishment, and a disinterest in the poor, the sick, and the unproductive. Our culture is so enamored with individualism and materialism that it worships external beauty and pleasure and adores achievement and wealth, but you know what? It's still not satisfied. So what would Jesus do today? What would he say to a culture like ours? Well, I believe he would say and do exactly the same things he said and did 2,000 years ago. He said, "Love your neighbor as yourself. Love even your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Love them as I have loved you. And blessed are those who see one another with the eyes of the Creator as of infinite value, not as objects or a means to achieve selfish goals." You know, St. Paul was once a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee who converted to Christianity. And he stressed the same point in his first letter to the Corinthians when he said, "If I have faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing." If I give away everything that I own but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This kind of love never, ever fails. So if there was ever any doubt about the primacy of love in religion, those inspired words of St. Paul dispelled it once and for all. And so, yes, we know that laws are needed. But love must be the primary motive of our lives. We can obey all 613 laws, but if we don't have love, we have nothing. Let me close this homily by quoting from St. Teresa of Calcutta. And more than any person in modern history, she maintained a beautiful balance between law and religion. When it came to the practice of religion, here's what she said. She said, each person's mission is a mission of love. And begin in a place where you are. Begin with the people closest to you and make your homes centers of compassion and forgive endlessly. Let no one ever come to you without coming away better and happier. And at the hour of death, when we come face to face with Almighty God, we are going to be judged on love, not by how much we have done, but by how much love we put into doing it. Because the greatest among you must be your servant. He who exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Amen.